All enlightened, waiting for the next harvest. I'd like to introduce our next speaker. The subject matter is application of resource certification, and the speaker is Robert Lunens.
What I'm here to speak about, if it stops flickering, is a project we've been working on called Resource Certification. The problem we're attempting to address is answering these sorts of questions. How do you actually check that a use of particular internet resources is legitimate? I'm sure the ISPs here have had to deal with this numerous times. You know, somebody comes along with a block of address and says, can you advertise this for me? Like, how do you know that they actually have the right to use that, those addresses? There have also been cases of prefixes being hijacked. Sometimes they're unused, sometimes actually using them at the time. And there's the little problem that YouTube had of their traffic going to Pakistan, for example. The current solutions, well, the KUIs. There's the internet routing registries, and well, you can pray. In some cases, HUIs and the IRRs are reasonably trustable. For example, I know that Wright's routing registry is authenticated. It's the whole, or parts of it are. So their members who they've allocated address space to, they can actually enter in objects that are checked that these people actually have got these addresses. But not all the routing registries are like that. And even RIPES, I believe, has a different section that's not authenticated in that way. The big problems are trust. How do you trust that information? As a random person coming off the internet and looking at these sources, you don't know whether that routing registry, for example, is of the variety that's authenticated and checked against the resource holders. In some cases, the information has got the wrong semantics or is difficult to parse for you to use in the way you need to. Information is frequently out of date. People, our members rarely update WHOIS until they want another allocation, for example. And in many cases, it's bogus data, it's or broken data. So, to address this, we've been building a resource public key infrastructure. This has come out of or been developed in concert with people in the CIDO working group. There's a URL there that leads to a whole lot of drafts about this, ranging from the architecture at a very high level down to the nitty-gritty of what goes in certificates and various signed objects. The idea is that the PKI follows the allocation hierarchy. So as in the present structure, it starts at the RIRs. So we've been assigned various /8s, and we will issue certificates to our members saying these prefixes go to and these ASs go to these members. It's intended for use in both an online and offline manner. It's believed that the primary use will be offline. So, because if you're using this to configure filters or things like that, you may not actually be able to access all the repositories for this information at the time. So it's important that you be able to gather a copy of all of the information you need to be able to validate various objects offline. It's intended for automated processing, so it's absolutely intended so that you can use automated tools to use this to apply to the applications that you're using. You can validate it. You'll be able to validate a single object easily, or gather all of the signed objects produced published in the PKI and validate all of them and produce outputs based on all of them. And it's about certifying the right to use resources, not about identity. Identity is incidental in this case. It's about if you hold the private key corresponding to a certificate that says these addresses are being used or signing something, then you legitimately have the right to use those resources. Apenik, Ripe and Aaron are all working on this at present. I'm not sure what the state of the other two RIs are. In some shape or form, all of us three have got projects in play or actually, in our case, released. All of us, and that's in the case of issuing the certificates for their members. I believe Aaron it's going to be later in the year that they start doing this. Ripe is currently got a trial open, and APNIC is issuing certificates for our members. All of us are working on what people call, what the PKI community calls relying party tools. This is for basically everyone whom this is useful. It's not just APNIC members or Ripe members or whatever. This is anyone who finds this information actually useful, and it's for them to be able to validate the objects and examine the objects. So this is a list of the objects that are currently defined. There are drafts for each of them. The first one is a ROA, a route origin authorization, and it basically says, I have this prefix, I control it, I want AS123 to be able to route it. And it's not about the AS. You don't have to be the holder of the AS to be able to assign one of these. It's the holder of the prefix. And this is one of the semantic things I was talking about earlier with some of the routing registries, is I believe that some of the route objects require the holder of the AS to authorise the object's publishing. And whereas in this case, it's about the prefix. The next one is a BOA. And it's basically saying for the holes in use, for address space that's not being used at present, you can say it should not appear on the wire. It should not see public addresses. This will probably also be useful for people who are using address space in a very limited context. So, for example, if you're using public address space in an internal network that should never see the light of day, you would publish a BOA publicly to assert that. And you can also do this for ASs as well. If there are ASs that have been assigned and they should never appear on the public internet, you can publish a BOA. And there's another object that's been defined. It's an AS adjacency attestation. And that's basically saying either owner of AS 456 and next to this AS, that AS, and the other AS. Um, And down the track, we're going to also, you know, obviously have more objects as they come along. In particular, human-readable stuff. Because, I mean, no set of predefined objects is going to cover all the situations. So at some stage, someone's going to want to sign the equivalent of an email or a plain text letter. And so we're going to allow people to do that as well.
Excuse me, guys. I'll see if I can stop the information stuff.
So there's on our public website the URL to go to for information about the project. So for MyACNIC members, we've added to the for ACNIC members, we've added to the MyACNIC website a set of pages for dealing with the resource certification. And at present, you can issue and manage both ROAs and AAOs. Obviously, you can actually look at the objects and see what how they're defined and revoke them and so on. We've also published the public repositories on rsync, so you can snuff the all of the ones that have been signed so far. What's next? More objects. Boas and probably the random signed plain text. And more importantly, we'll be releasing relying party tools for being able to view the signed objects. So currently you can download them, but unless you actually have some relatively difficult to use command line tools, you can't actually look at the objects themselves, unless you can read ASIN1. And you'll be able to also validate signed objects. And they'll be both standalone tools, and also there'll be web versions of those tools. So you'll be able to go to the ACNIC website and validate these objects and check their certification path and so on. Where to from here? It's a bit of an open field. The one of the primary short to medium term uses we see of this when people actually start publishing a lot of ROAs is to do root filters. The only difficulty here is about semantics of what a ROA means, and that's still being argued it on the CIDR list. And the last take on it from the authors was that it was about that if you see a single rower on the that's been published for a prefix, you can't necessarily guarantee that it's going to be the only valid announcement. And that's where Boas come in from some people's point of view. Other people are saying if you see a single rower, you need to say, that's it. You know, from then on, that's the only AS that should be able to publish announce that prefix. But once all of that, the semantics are figured out, one of the things that you should be able to do is be able to, for particular prefixes, be able to develop route filters that say only these ASs are allowed to announce these prefixes.